Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Wednesday, July 8th, and today we've got a special guest on the show, Brian Cook, the president and owner of Golden Sky Media. He has covered the Pittsburgh Steelers for well over 15 years, well, actually at 15 years, and he's been a longtime Steelers beat writer. He's a photographer. He's a videographer. He's been on TV and radio. We'll get into all that in the show, but he's a man of many talents. He's been in our Pittsburgh media for a long time, so I wanted to bring him on to give you his perspective on Mike Tomlin and a lot of things that have been said about him in the first segment. Then in the second segment, we're going to address what was said by DeSean Jackson. He made an anti-Semitic post and apologized, but then there were a lot of critical questions that came after that. We break down how those questions are being parsed out and where they should go from here. Then, finally, we address some of those questions that come around with James Conner, Juju Smith-Schuster, and the criticisms of their postings to social media. Where it stands, what are the merits of the people that are complaining, and what are the arguments against them. All that and more, right now, right here. If you're liking the Locked On Steelers podcast, please like and subscribe. We are on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere where podcasts are hosted. Please go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review and a positive comment. Doing so will get you a shout out at the end of the show. Let's get into it. All right, everyone. Happy Wednesday. It's hump day. We are in the middle of the week. Of course, you guys know this is the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Today, I bring to you a special guest, a friend of mine, and a guy that's a man of many talents. His name is Brian Cook. He's the owner and president of Golden Sky Media. He's also the president of the Pittsburgh Black Media Federation. I got to tell you guys, this guy, he does his own photography. He does his own writing. He does radio. He does TV. He produces for TV. He wears so many different hats. He's been covering the Steelers since, I believe, 2005. You can correct me if I'm wrong there, Brian. But, Brian, I just want to welcome you to the show. It's great to finally have you here.
Yes, thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate you having me on, man. This is fantastic, man. I have the utmost respect for you as well.
Yeah, man, it's great. Y'all don't know this guy has been like the man in Pittsburgh for so long. It's ridiculous. But I wanted Brian to bring you on the show to start with today's episode. I talked about this last week, and everyone always hears my opinion on Mike Tomlin on this show. I think the world of him as a coach, as far as this where the standard he is. I think that the only coach that you can definitively and objectively say is of a higher standard right now is Bill Belichick, and with that, I think that's where the argument is. But I wanted to bring you in because you've been covering the Steelers since 2005 when Bill Cowher won his Super Bowl. So you've seen all of Mike Tomlin's career. I wanted to get your perspective on where you see Mike Tomlin. He was recently ranked 7th among all NFL coaches by CBSSports.com, and some people said he should be lower. Some people said he should be higher. What's your perspective on Mike Tomlin and where you see him as a coach in the NFL?
You know, it's funny you say that because when Tomlin first came into the league in that 2007 season, you know, he came in, you know, real humble. You know, he signed his contract. You know, Art Rooney II and Dan Rooney welcomed him with open arms to the Steelers organization. And I think Pittsburgh somewhat embraced Coach Tomlin. Some did not, but of course, you know, when you think about the true essence of Pittsburgh and you think about, you know, the fan base, you know, one of the things that Tomlin said when he first came in, because of course, when you make any type of change, when Coach Cowher left and he left the Steelers to go into, you know, the wonderful world of television, into our business, right? You know, Tomlin came in and he said, listen, you know, what I understand about Pittsburgh is that they just don't want you to win. That's Steeler Nation specifically. But you are expected to win in this city. And I think whenever he said that, he raised a lot of eyebrows saying, oh, okay, I like his mentality, but let's give him a chance. So, but again, some people liked the idea, some people didn't. But what I will say about Tomlin and, you know, what a lot of people said about him from before is that he's a player's coach. Some people said he was trying to be friends with all of the players. When he was first hired, he was 34 years old. He was the age of many of the players and that on that team. You know, some of the players were older than he was at that team. at that time. Mm-hmm. But he was able to come in, commandeer the room, make sure that he could, use his coaching and leadership prowess, and put together a nice coaching staff. And he was able to win one Super Bowl as a result of it. So, one of the things that I noticed that the players really respect him as well. You know, he's not he didn't come in as a yelling head coach. He's more fiery now as he becomes a more of a veteran head coach. But, there's nothing wrong with being a player's coach. You want to gain the respect of your team. And, again, those players love him and respect him and have the entire way through.
I agree, and that's one thing that you hear is that people across the board, when they played for Mike Tomlin, I mean, you can always find one or two dissenters, but they say they appreciate working with him, and they loved playing for him. And they said that the respect that they had for him and the respect that he had for them is admirable. And even Mike Wallace, when he saw that list where he was at seventh, when Mike Tomlin was at seventh, Mike Wallace, a former Steeler who was, he went on to play, get his big dollars from other teams. He said there's no way in the world that Mike Tomlin could be that low and below even players like coaches like Sean McVay, who, just got to be head coaches in the league and still haven't won a Super Bowl. I do agree with that sentiment. But on the players coach element, a lot of people talk about it like, oh, it's just because he's chummy with the players, like you said. But, and some people like Terry Bradshaw have gone on to say things like, oh, he's a cheerleader and he doesn't do anything. Because people, they want to see Mike Tomlin do the X's and O's. They have this illusion in their head that Bill Belichick
asterisk
is just like, and every other coach that, that they like out there, all, they know all the X's and O's, and Tomlin knows none of them because you never hear him do it for like an NFL special, or you don't see him breaking those down there. I want people to understand that is just because you don't see it like that doesn't mean that he's not doing it. Because I remember when Sean McVay, when he first was getting into the league, and he would do breakdowns before he would play an opponent, and he would talk about all the good players on the other side of the ball that he was about to face. And people were like, wow, look at the way he breaks things down. No coach does it like that. And there was a couple people, I think you were one of them, that was like, Tomlin always does that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to get your perspective on just what people miss about how detailed of a coach he is when you look at the work that he puts in.
You know what? A lot of people say that, every overnight success is 15 years in the making. Mm-hmm. So, with Coach Tomlin, he is around that 15th year, if you will. He's 1-1 in Super Bowls, and then, quite the contrary when it comes to Terry Bradshaw in that statement, every coach should be a cheerleader in some respects. You should want to give your players positive reinforcement. Everybody is different. If we'd all be the same, this would be a boring world, right? Mm-hmm. Think about a lot of the coaches who have come through the league who were just as fiery, if not just as excited, whenever their players, are successful on the field. I mean, think of Hank Stram. Just matriculate the ball down the field, boys. Tom Landry. Even Bill Cowher. We can even stay in Pittsburgh if you want to. One of the people that you just mentioned was Sean McVay. He is that cheerleader on the field. Now, people manage in different ways. I mean, think about the corporate world. I mean, you would want a manager to cheer you on to make more money for the company, which makes the manager look good. But when you think about a lot of these players, and I've gotten a chance to speak with some of the players near the end, at the end of all the seasons, I always try to ask the players how they feel about their coach. And they, people like Terrell Edmonds said, Tomlin's a great coach. He calls him Coach T. I love Coach T. He's been tremendous. I love working with him. Bud Dupree, Joe Hayden, Cameron Hayward. These are leaders and captains on this team. Now, again, as we as the media, we can say whatever we want because we feel as though we are the experts. They are the experts. Mike Tomlin, his coaching staff, and the players, I'm sure, are just like any other NFL team. They are about the X's and O's. You never let people know your next move. So whenever you're on the field, again, this is the entertainment business. And Coach Tomlin even said it himself. He said, I understand we're in the entertainment business. You know, I understand that, you know, we have fans who, you know, want to come to the game and enjoy themselves and cheer for us. You know, we as players and coaches, you know, we adhere to that, and we're going to make sure that we give the fans what they want. We want to win as well. But a lot of people, and actually I would say 99.8% of the people who are fans of all the NFL teams, they don't see the blood, sweat, and tears behind the scenes. They don't see players in the weight room. They don't see them running wind sprints, you know, after a practice is over, catching a couple balls with the jugs machine, or, you know, just running up and down steps or up and down hills. So people don't see the X's and O's being put into play during practice, after practice. You know, you never know. I mean, 99.8% of people don't know that Mike Tomlin is the first person in and the last person out, because mm-hmm. he's always studying the game. He knows, you know, and as a head coach, you know, he knows the college players. He knows the backup. He knows high school players. So he's a student of the game. And people have to realize that when you're in those types of positions, because he's one of 32 in the world with that position. So he has to be on top of his game to keep that position. So when it comes to those X's and O's, you know, players, coach or not, you know, he is a professional that makes sure that he can, you know, do the best he can, of course, with efforts of the overall success of his team.
Okay, I agree. And one of the examples that Bob Labriola, he writes for PittsburghSteelers.com, that he highlighted recently was he just brought people back. He said he asked Mike Tomlin the Friday before they won Super Bowl 43 against the Cardinals, and Tomlin told him right then and there about how during that week he was watching the film of his team in practice and saw how they were not getting out in front of their defensive players when they got forced a turnover, and how he made sure he incorporated it into a practice that week whenever there was an interception, all defensive players were to get off offensive and go out and block for the guy who had the ball, because he said they were going to need a defensive touchdown. And it was that preparation that led to the greatest defensive play in the history of the Super Bowl, which was James Harrison's 100-yard pick six. And a lot of people, I think, that try to say Mike Tomlin, he's just a cheerleader, he doesn't know anything about football. I think that they miss stories like that. So that I absolutely wanted to get your perspective on that. You've done a great job covering the Steelers for so long. Heck, I learned a lot from this guy, people. So definitely, wanted to get his perspective here. We're going to cut to a quick break here, guys. When we come back, we're going to talk about the comments made by DeSean Jackson and how they're impacting the NFL and what our perspectives are on that right after this. All right, we are back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter, joined by Brian Cook. Now, Brian, the national story that seems to be sweeping the day yesterday in the NFL was DeSean Jackson's comments that he posted, I believe it was on Instagram. He had some comments that were anti-Semitic. I understand you have at least like the excerpt of them that has been circulating the most.
Yeah, of course, you know, DeSean Jackson being one of the premier wide receivers, one of the most elusive wide receivers that we've seen in quite some time. You know, whenever you think about these players and, you know, the off-the-field issues, this is one of them, especially when it comes to social media. Part of it reads, quote, Hitler said, because the white Jews know that the Negroes are the real children of Israel, and to keep Americans secret, the Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America, and their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were. It goes on to read a lot more than that. It's quite lengthy. And of course, like you just said, DeSean Jackson had issued an apology immediately for backlash. And he pretty much in his apology said that he's not racist. He didn't want to offend anybody based on their race or their religion. But I think it's pretty much safe to say that he should not have said that. And it brings us to a bigger issue of race in America, because, you know, we're seeing a major disconnect when it comes to racial tensions and a major dichotomy between, you know, Black and white people in this country, and then also with the Native Americans, and, you know, there's so much going on with the Redskins, you know, and that whole thing. But with this specifically, it was hard to read that. But we've seen quite a few of these mishaps and loose lips, if you will, from many players in the league.
No, I agree. And here's the thing about this situation with DeSean Jackson. When you read through it, and he was posting it like he was sharing some information. Now, the issue here, there's a few things here. One, it's been proven that Hitler never actually said those things. That quote that gets shared sometimes online was according to Snopes, they've tracked it down, is that it gets shared by people who tried to paint Hitler in a different light after his death. So, I mean, it doesn't make it any better that Hitler didn't actually say it, but it's saying that, you know, this is just propaganda that's been put out to kind of further along this anti-Semitic agenda. Now, for those who might not be familiar, there is this push, you know, amongst the white supremacist crowd that's always said that the Jews are trying to run the world, and they're problem make causers, and they're the reason why economies, you know, hurt people. And there's a lot of rhetoric that goes into that, and stuff like this feeds into that narrative. And that's why this was extremely bad. And not that that needs a whole lot of explanation, but for some people who might be thinking like, well, wait a second, what, you know, I've never heard this before. That's where I think that this leads astray. And for a Pittsburgh connection to this, Brian, the Tree of Life, the person who shot up the Tree of Life synagogue was posting things like this. Maybe not this specifically, but when the police did an investigation, they dug up his social media, and he was posting a lot of the same, just the lies, the misleading information, the things that just are pointed at Jewish people and saying that they are causing these economic problems and that they're running the world and that they have a secret Illuminati government that controls everything. You know, that kind of stuff leads to that kind of hatred. And DeSean Jackson, by posting something like this, he wasn't going to go shoot up somebody, but someone who read that might take it and add to the fuels of their fire to do something as crazy and as insane as it is just horrible as what happened here in Pittsburgh at the Tree of Life just a year and a half ago. For those who you know might not fully remember, it was a massacre where a man went into the Tree of Life synagogue on a weekend morning and shot a whole bunch of people and killed a lot of people right here in Pittsburgh. And in fact, it was like right off of Squirrel Hill. It was not too far from where I grew up, and not too far, and right, that's the neighborhood where I went to high school. So like for me, like DeSean Jackson posting this, it came off to me like he was just completely ignorant and stupid by posting it.
Yeah. And anytime you quote Hitler, one of the most hateful people on the planet, one of the worst people who ever walked this earth.
Yep.
Whenever his name is used in any way, you have to keep in mind that it's probably not the best thing to say.
Exactly. And I also think, you know, as far as the discussion goes, that when you see that, when you see anything like this, you have to have the common sense to be like, okay, I'm not touching this. Even if you have questions, like some people, they've never heard the argument of black people being the original people of Israel. And that's a whole history that we're not going to get into. But I understand if hearing rhetoric like that makes you confused and you want to do your research, but then go do research. Don't share propaganda that don't make no sense, you know, because you got to be careful what you share. And when you're a person like Deshaun Jackson, you got to be smarter than that. And I think that if right's right, he needs to be punished for it. But Bryant, this is where, and this is the next layer of the conversation I wanted to get into it with you about, was the reaction that people have been having. So there's been a lot of people that have been calling out and saying the Eagles need to take action against Deshaun Jackson for this. And I think that they would be right to do so. However, there is the immediate next shoe that follows when people say, well, wait a second, because not too long ago, this was the same organization that didn't do anything to Riley Cooper when he came out on video and was seen threatening black people and calling black people the N-words. And not only was he not punished for it, he never missed a game. He never missed a check. He got a $25 million extension the season after he said that for the next 5 years, even though also he was a very mediocre wide receiver.
He was mediocre at best.
Yeah, at best. And skill besides the point. They paid that man, and nothing ever happened to him. And, again, this isn't saying Deshaun Jackson should get off, but I guarantee you, if they punish Deshaun Jackson, people are going to look at this and say, well, wait a second. What message are we sending here? Because you're punishing the guy for making anti-Semitic comments, but you never punished the guy that said racist comments. Now, I think that they can save face by punishing Deshaun Jackson right now and saying, we failed before and we don't want to fail again. But Brian, I just want to get your perspective. How do you think the Eagles and the NFL should move forward with Deshaun Jackson? Because they're tackling so many issues of racism in other conversations right now.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing we just mentioned a little bit earlier with the Washington Redskins and that possible name change, players are kneeling right now during the national anthem and now have the go ahead to do so because the country is the United States of America is in shambles in some respects when it comes to racial tensions. Now, you know, so an interesting point you just brought up about Riley Cooper. You know, again, yes, very mediocre wide receiver at best, used, you know, racial terms. And ironically, Deshaun Jackson and Riley Cooper played on the same Eagles team.
Yep, that same year.
Absolutely, during that same exact time. So I think Jason Avant was on that team. Michael Vick was a quarterback.
LeSean McCoy.
McCoy was there, of course, you know, went to the University of Pittsburgh, you know, so there's a lot of tension that people have. And then sometimes, you know, whenever it comes to the true essence of why people are saying what they're saying, some of that could be repressed feelings and their true feelings will come out. Now, I understand that if I'm not mistaken, Riley Cooper may have been intoxicated that night. I think they were at a concert.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, sometimes a drunk mind speaks a sober heart. Mm-hmm. But going back to the actual Philadelphia Eagles and their pseudo punishment of him, if something happens to Deshaun Jackson where he misses one, two, maybe three games or has to sit out during training camp, that shows another level of double standard, not only in the NFL, but sometimes in the country, because it seems as though sometimes the offense is against people of color, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Now, what Deshaun Jackson said was egregious, and I think he should be ashamed of himself for saying that. But we'll see what happens in the coming weeks if anything happens to Jackson. Now, I have been seeing the backlash. I have been seeing, you know, social media is unkind to a lot of people, to Riley Cooper and to Deshaun Jackson. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a lot of anti-Semitic comments after Jackson put his social media post out there. So, you know that some people will side with him and be against him. But what I will say is that the Eagles really need to take a look at what's happened in the past and make a conscious decision on how they are to discipline him. Should they discipline him? Absolutely. But pay attention to what you did in the past with Riley Cooper.
And acknowledge it. I think it, because you're right. They need to pay attention because if they will sound extremely tone deaf by to a lot of people, and especially black, because to be honest, as a black person, when Riley Cooper said what he said and nothing happened to him, I took that as like the middle finger from the Eagles. Like, you know what? Yeah, he's racist. So what? You know, and but here's the thing. I think that if the Eagles do that right now with Deshaun Jackson, they're doing the same thing to Jewish people. Yeah, he said something anti-Semitic. So what? And you know, I think it's good that Deshaun Jackson apologized, but he needs to know how serious stuff like that is. And the Eagles, in a statement, could knock out all the dominoes. They could say, first, we acknowledge that Deshaun Jackson was wrong for what he said. Here's the punishment that it is. It's a game. It's two games. It's whatever. But they should punish him. They say that this is never acceptable. I think that because they're our neighbors, they're in Pennsylvania to Pittsburgh, they could acknowledge something like the Tree of Life Synagogue and say that that kind of rhetoric leads to that kind of hatred, and we can never stand for that, not in our country and not in our state and not with our team. And then at the same and then the very next breath after that, we talk and listen. We understand that historically we have failed as an organization to address this when it was addressing the black community, because when Riley Cooper used the N-word and he was threatening black people, nothing happened to him. We didn't take action, and we not only apologize for that, but we promise that we will be better moving forward. And it starts with addressing what happened to Deshaun Jackson. And we promise that if anyone else says anything like that or like what Riley Cooper says, we will punish them just as we are punishing him now.
Right. A lot of teams, what they'll do is they'll say that this X player will be disciplined because of Y, but it will be done internally. So the public doesn't have to know all of the inner workings of each team. So if they make a strong statement, like you just said, and I completely agree with that, and if they get out in front of it saying that we as the Eagles organization have failed in the past, we will handle this situation internally as Deshaun Jackson will be disciplined by our team. Leave it at that. Have a stern conversation with him, just like they had a stern conversation with Riley Cooper. And I just want to be clear, just from earlier, both of us said that rhetoric is wrong.
It's dangerous.
Very dangerous. Words are very dangerous. Words have killed people.
So
you have to be very careful about what you say. But I think it's a teachable moment so that people will not make the same mistake. And a lot of these players are held to a higher standard. So they have to realize that the microscope is on them. Okay. So they have to make sure that they're not model citizens, but you want to be as close to that as possible.
I agree entirely. And you know, one thing I think finishing up here, players should be held to a standard that is expected them to do well. I do think people shouldn't look up to players as their ultimate role models, because again, these are just athletes. Right. These are not Nobel Peace Prize winners. But at the same time, that doesn't excuse them when they do wrong, and they should be held accountable for it. And I do think that Deshaun Jackson, just as you think Deshaun Jackson, we both agree that he should be held accountable for his actions. And I'm eager to see if the Eagles do something and if it's public, so that everyone knows that they don't accept that kind of rhetoric in today's league.
Absolutely.
We're gonna cut to one more break. When we come back, I want to get Brian's perspective on how the young Steelers players are posting on social media, because that's what everyone wants to talk about sometimes. And we're going to talk about that right after this. All right, we're back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined by Brian Cook. Now, I wanted to talk about this with you, Brian, because you're a guy, you're on social media, you handle all types of media. And one thing that's a common discussion point by fans and by writers in this town is that is the criticism of young players who post a lot on social media, namely two of them being Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner. There is a notion by especially older members of the media that they shouldn't be posting as much. You know, their pictures and their videos of them training or them doing things in public, that they're wasted. Why are they trying to get this attention? It's not good. They should just be quiet and just do things on their own time without posting about it, so that the world doesn't have to know about it. Why does the world have to know about it? Why can't they just do things on their own time? And the most recent example was John Steigerwald, who tweeted out a criticism of James Conner for posting a video of buying his own mom a house. And, you know, he's like, Sidney Crosby does a lot of things like this for a lot of people, and he doesn't carry the media with him. He just does it on his own strength. And he's right. Sidney Crosby does a lot of good charity work, and he does not publicize it. But the response that I have and a lot of people have is that, you know what, but if they want to publicize it, what's wrong with that? And I wanted to get your take on just that conversation that sometimes happens.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with posting on social media. Let's get one thing straight here. You know, these are grown men or grown women. You know, these are people mm-hmm. who are, you know, upholding the true essence of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution,
yep.
the freedom of speech. So if you want to use that platform to talk about some of the good things you're doing or to express your opinion, that's why it's there. You know, I don't see a problem with that. And I think many times when people say, hey, I've been in this business for a long time, you know, many of the people who are criticizing some of these young athletes for, you know, taking to social media and taking to the internet to express their opinions, or, you know, people who may come from, you know, the days of typewriters and hunting and pecking, trying to get your letters and numbers up on a sheet of paper. You know, that was how you communicated back then. This is how you're communicating now. So many times people don't trust the media and they want to put their own story out there for the masses. So they want people to get the story from the horse's mouth. Because many of these players, and I've had conversations with many of these players who say that many people in the media misquote them and or interject their own opinion and use subjective reporting to put these athletes in a bad light. So if they want to take to Twitter, like you just mentioned, James Conner giving his mom a house, that is tremendous. You know, he wants the world to know that he loves his mom. And he wants to be able to give back to the person who birthed and raised him to be a successful young man. I don't see anything wrong with using social media. Now, on the flip side of that, which goes back to a previous conversation, what you say now could burn you later. So I would say be careful what you say. Because there's always that bullseye on these players. And many times there are writers who don't like these young players. So, you know, you have to be careful what you say because you don't want to give anybody any ammunition. But at the same time, I have no problem with it.
Yeah. And that's my thing is that, like you said, if I want to post something about how much I love my mom, I'm going to post about how much I love my mom, you know, like it's my right to do so. And it's really funny to me because the people that are complaining about people posting on social media, they're going to social media to complain about it. So it's like, you think it's so bad that these guys are posting their thoughts or what they're doing on here, but here you are doing just that.
It's like, how hypocritical can you be?
Yeah. And for me, I'm like, listen, you know, and there's times, do I think it's a little crazy when people post pictures of their food on social media? Yeah. Like if it's just annoying, like when you go somewhere fancy and you're like, whoa, that's an impressive spread. I get that. But like when people are like, hey, I went to Eaton Park and I got this and they post a picture of that on Instagram. I'm kind of like, you could have saved that. Like, you know, but again, if you want to, that's your business. I don't care. I'm just not going to follow it. But I think especially with athletes, I think it's cool that they give us this insight into their world. And see, this is the work ethic you got. Like all the videos we saw of Juju Smith-Schuster catching footballs, lifting, running, doing agility drills. I think that's cool because it's showing young people that are on social media. And let's face it, young people are glued to social media in today's day and age. It's showing them, look, that's what I got to be doing if I want to be like him. And when you're, and it's fine if you don't do it, but if you do it, I think as long as you're posting it in a positive light, if you're showing positivity, you're spreading love, if you're spreading the message that you need to have a hard work ethic, I don't see anything wrong with it. And it just, I think that people that get mad at that are just people that want to be mad at the world, or they want something to complain about. And I don't think that's right. You could do whatever you want, like, you know, complain about it all you want. But I think that in the perspective of Pittsburghers, I don't think that anyone should look at Juju Smith-Schuster and say, oh, because the other narrative on this, Brian, and let me know your feedback on this. But people look at this and say, Juju, well, you were posting on Twitter, you fumbled in the Ravens game, and you fumbled in the Saints game. So you gave away two big games for the Steelers that could have helped their playoff chances the past 2 years. What are you doing, you know, being on Twitter when you need to be working? And I think that the video show, he is working. But Brian, do you think that people are just going way over the top with this whole, you know, you should be training, not putting stuff on social media?
You know, it's funny you say that, because if a player has a bad game, yep, and they take to social media to say something that may or may not be related to the game, that's, and then people have a problem with that. It's almost like saying you lost a game, you should not talk at all. You see where I'm going with that? It's like, yeah, you're trying to take away someone's freedom to say anything. You know, like Le'Veon Bell, when he was here, he was playing for the Steelers.
Yeah.
You know, he would be out at the mall or at the restaurant, and then people would go up to him and say, well, shouldn't you be in, you know, reading the playbook? Shouldn't you be? He's like, well, man, you know, I love football, but football's not, you know, that's my job. That's not my everyday, it's not part of my everyday life, you know? So yes, I play football. I practice, I lift. I may play Madden a little bit. I might want to play cards with my family. I might want to go to a movie. I'm allowed to do those things. So for people to be critical of someone like a Juju Smith-Schuster, who posts his, like you just said, his work ethic, he's showing that he's trying to be a better player, a great teammate. But if he posts something unrelated to football, people think that football is their life. That is unfair. You don't hold CEOs of, yeah, companies to the same standard. You know, the CEO of a soft drink company, I don't want to give anybody any commercials here, but a soft drink company, you're like, man, they should be working on your recipe so that whenever you open the can, it doesn't, you know, splatter all over your face. No, I mean, they have lives outside of their everyday work. So there should be no reason why anybody should chastise these players for going on social media. Social media? Come on. You know, that's so superficial, it's unreal. And again, like you just said, people who criticize them about being on social media, who then go on social media themselves to criticize them, you know, is the epitome of hypocrisy.
I think it's hilarious. I'll tell a funny story about Juju. Yeah. And this wasn't in the locker room. This was in public. We used to do these live events for DK Pittsburgh Sports, where we would go to a bar and we would hold these live sports debates or discussions, where I would kind of MC it, and I'd do it with Dayon, I'd do it with, you know, whoever else from our team was there. And we're doing it at Walter's, the barbecue joint in Lawrenceville.
Yeah.
And this was like right when they first opened. So like, they're packed, they got all these new people in there, and they wanted us to kind of be the entertainment. So we're doing this and we're talking about the Steelers, and this is mid season. Like this is like a year or two ago. And Juju's like having some really good numbers, and we're talking about him. And then all of a sudden we see Juju walking into the restaurant, and he's got his dog Bougie, who he had just gotten his dog. And he was with a young lady, and we're just kind of sitting there, and we both see him, and Dayon and I try really hard not to laugh into our microphones, like, oh snap, we're literally talking about this man right now. And then and then we just see him see us, like he puts his name down, he kind of stands there, he perks his ears up, and then he sees us, and he's just like, nope, and he just dipped.
Oh, that's
so I was interested. I was like, so is Juju, I know this man is very good with the camera. Like, is he gonna come over here and take over the show? And he was like, nah, I'm just trying to enjoy my night.
And you know, it's funny you say that, you know, because two former Steelers, you know, I consider friends, you know, people I've covered, and then yeah. we're friends after the fact. You know, Mike Logan and Mac Starks.
Mm.
You know, two great guys. You know, of course, you know, we weren't friends when they were playing because, you know, as journalists, you don't break that wall. You know, but after the fact, it's like, yeah, you know, we had some nice back and forth, some good conversations, some great interviews. But one of the things that both of them said was, hey, you know, I'm glad that every time you see me, you're not talking about football all the time, because they're eating, breathing, sleeping, drinking football on a regular basis. And then when they go to restaurants, like you just said, you know, and they're like, oh my goodness, there they are, they're talking about football. Sometimes they just need to take a break and just clear their mind a little bit. So that's a good point. You know, Juju probably said, hey, you know, I'm around football all the time. I just need a break. I just want to be out and get a steak with my family. So I understand. I probably would have left too.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so fun. Like when he left, we joked about it afterwards. And that's another thing. Like Juju, like I like Juju. I like a lot of things that he does. He is not afraid to interact with the public.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He's shaking my hand. He shook my hand. Good English there, Chris. He shook my hand after interviews that I've done on him, and he's been a very positive guy for the Pittsburgh community. So you know, I think that there's a weird attack on him and James Conner and other players that are willing to post about their activities on social media. That's what it's for. You know, it's to share cool stories and share things so that people can get a better sense of what's going on in the world. And I think especially in 2020. All the crazy things we got to put up with this year, I'm okay with hearing about a player being proud that he bought his mama house.
You're absolutely right. You know, we need some positivity in our lives right now, and that was a feel-good story. I'm completely comfortable with it.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian. This has been the Locked On Steelers podcast. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the show. Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been so great. I'm gonna have you back here, man. Even if you don't want to, I'll make you come on this podcast again.
I appreciate it, man. No need to force me. I'll be there. You're my man. Okay. I'll be here for you.
My man, Brian, can you let everyone know where they can find more of your work and follow you anywhere than what you're doing?
Absolutely. You know, I did national radio for 14 years, covered the whole league, been covering the Steelers since 2005. And then, you know, I freelance for a lot of media organizations locally, nationally and internationally. But I do own Golden Sky Media. So you can go to goldenskymedia.com. I'm on the move a lot. So I update that website as much as I can, and you can just Google me. You can just Google Brian Cook Journalist. You know, I come up, and you can follow me on Twitter, you know, at bcook1906, and just follow me on Instagram at Golden Sky Media, and I'm easy to find on Facebook. Just search Brian Cook Journalist, man. I'm all over the world. You know when there's no when it's safe to go outside, you know, I'm doing a lot of stories all around the world. So, you know, I love to tell good stories about people, and I love doing features, and I do a lot of video work as well. So I'm working on a couple of documentaries, and I'm just excited to be able to tell people stories. That's what makes me smile.
I hear that, guys. That's Brian Cook. Seriously, go follow this man. He does a lot of great things. And some of the projects that I've seen him do are spectacular, in-depth stories of our city and then of the world. But as you guys know, you can follow me on Twitter, Chris Carter, at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Thanks to all those who are part of that. You can also join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group by going on Facebook, searching Locked On Steelers, and just ask to join the group. As soon as you ask, I'll add you to the group as soon as possible. We are over 670 members strong right now. We're getting bigger every day. Also, if you're enjoying the podcast, Locked On Steelers, please hit the subscribe button. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. We are there. And If you're really liking the show, please leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us get the word about what we're doing here. That's our Wednesday show. I'll be back in your ears tomorrow talking more on the Pittsburgh Steelers.